This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. If you're the parent of a toddler, you're probably thinking about how to find a quality preschool program or childcare setting that you can afford and that's a good fit with your child. There's a great deal of talk about the importance of quality preschool, but what does that really mean? And do you live in a county where there's a shortage of programs? The California Child Care and Referral Network reports that working families struggle to find child care. Licensed child care is only available for 27% of children with working parents. The current economic crisis threatens the stability of child care. And if a budget isn't signed soon, oh wow, many providers won't be paid for the work they're doing to help raise our kids. Many centers have already taken out lines of credit. It's very serious, so talk to your legislators. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here Sunday to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, 3- and 4-year-olds learn by doing, by touching things, by playing, problem solving, and they learn by example. They love to be around other children in a safe and stimulating environment. A good preschool program can be a wonderful experience, but we have a long way to go to provide a quality experience for every child. As you think about finding a preschool or any child care setting, keep in mind that families have different situations, time demands, finances, all different, really different life circumstances, and children have unique temperaments and special needs. So what works for one child may not be the best environment for another. But there are ways you can assess a quality program that gives a great deal of thought and effort into providing a rich and stimulating environment. Today, we'll answer your questions about preschools and hear from you about your child's experience. And if you're a teacher, call us with your perspective. We'll also let you know what you can, you know, be learning about this new law that's coming out, probably, if it gets signed by the governor, and it's going to be about children turning 5 years old by September 1st. That will be the cutoff date if they're to go to kindergarten. So there's a lot to talk about this morning. The phone lines are open, 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. Joining us in the studio this morning is Scott Moore. He's a senior policy advisor for Preschool California. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan advocacy organization funded by the David and Lucille Packard Foundation to ensure all children have the opportunity to attend a quality preschool. He's also co-owner of a Montessori school in Oakland and in the past was the director of early education for the nonprofit Kidango, where he supported 51 child development and Head Start centers. He's former special assistant to the founding dean of UCLA's School of Public Affairs, where he helped create the UCLA Policy Forum and Senior Fellows Program. Scott Moore, welcome back to our show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Rona.
It's such a pleasure. Also with us is Alexina Rojas. She's the director of the West Contra Costa County First Five Center. The center offers programming to families who have children ages 0 to 5 in the areas of parent-child interactive classes, including music, art, science, and early literacy, also parent education, and linkages to community resources. As the center's director for the last 4 years, her favorite part of working at the center is watching children be little scientists and experimenting with everything. She has also been an elementary school instructor and worked in various nonprofit organizations in the Bay Area and New York. Alexina Rojas, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to see you, too. Well, Scott, let's start with you. Maybe give us some ideas of how you think about quality preschool.
Sure. Well, we use the 3 P's, people, program, and place, which is a simple way of talking about a very complex issue, which is quality early learning. For people, you know, oftentimes those are the teachers and the caregivers. It's important that they provide children with a nurturing, loving environment. But it's also important that we parents ask, what are their education qualifications? What's the kind of training have they had? All of that is important in terms of the program. What's the curriculum? You know, how can the teacher articulate to a parent what the curriculum is, and really describe how they can scaffold out a child's learning through a day, through a week, through a month? And then the place. Is it a safe place? Is it a nurturing environment? Are the children happy? What's the noise level like? Is it chaotic or is it calm? Those are some critical things to look at.
And I was thinking back to the people part. I think also the ratio is really important.
Right.
How many adults are there? You know, I was looking for some preschool programs or childcare programs for my grandson. And one place I talked to, the woman sounded lovely. And then it turned out she was the only one for the six children.
Oh.
And, you know, she felt very comfortable doing that. And I realized, for me, just the experience I have, I know things happen sometimes, and I'd much rather have a setting where there were two people,
right,
even if it was with more kids,
right,
because that seemed important to me as a grandma.
Right, right. Well, you never know when something might happen.
Yeah.
It's good to have two folks around. There's no question. And you're absolutely right. Group size and ratio are important.
Really important, too. Alexina, you talk a lot with parents about choosing a good childcare or preschool. Why don't you add to what Scott had to say?
Well, I think parents need to look at a couple different things depending on the age of their child. So if they have an infant or a toddler, it's really not about, you know, the academics that are going to be covered when their child is in childcare. It's really about the loving and nurturing relationship, as you were mentioning, Scott. It's about the child having a primary caregiver who is there, you know, on a consistent basis, who really enjoys talking and sharing time with the child, where routines, you know, feeding, diapering, changing the diaper, napping, all of that is done in a relationship with the child where they're singing to the child, they're talking to the child. So it's all about developing the self-esteem of the infant. And so there's a security and trust. You know, and then as they get a little bit older, I also want to make sure that there's time for social interaction with other children, that there's plenty of reading, and that children are really playing and learning through play, and they're not doing worksheets. That's a big deal. No worksheets.
Right. Our preschoolers' work is to play, and you know, you get a lot of great reports coming out from kindergarten teachers, and they will say the kids that really do well when they transition to kindergarten are the kids who have learned some of those social skills, self-regulation, but that gets taught through play, and it gets taught through those loving connections, as you say, and I think it's very important for parents not to worry that a child is, quote, learning a lot in any kind of traditional way, because the way they learn is through the play that they do. And of course, we don't want televisions on.
No.
Right.
So that's
right.
Another really important piece.
That's a good
sign. Right. No putting children in front of TVs as part of the childcare setting, I think, is very important. I think, you know, I want to invite people to call in with questions about how you look for a quality school, preschool, childcare setting, and any other questions you have about that. But before we take our first call, I also want you to mention, Scott, about the legislation by Senator Joe Simidian and what that looks like.
Sure, absolutely. Well, this is in a very tough budget year, and clearly the state of California is going through tremendously difficult budget and economic times. This is an opportunity to actually do a lot of good without costing the state any new money. California is unique. It's one of only four states that has a cutoff date for kindergarten entry at December 1. What that means is that we have 120,000 four-year-olds who are going to kindergarten every year. Now, interestingly, kindergarten used to be a program very similar to preschool. Kids started when they turned three, they finished when they were around six. But nowadays, it's just a one-year program. And, you know, it's a lot more academic than it used to be. It's much more rigorous. We have a lot more expectations for children of that age. And what that means is that when you're four, you're just not ready. Most children aren't ready, that is. And so we know through the experience of other states who've changed their kindergarten entry date, that when they've done that, that group of kids who are starting kindergarten later at a more appropriate age do much better. And so then the question is, if you're going to change the entry date, what do you do with those 120,000 four-year-olds? Because they're expecting to go to kindergarten. And so are their parents.
Their parents are expecting them to have some kind of preschool program.
Exactly. And so what this bill will do is it's going to create what's being called a kindergarten transition year. But really, this is a year before kindergarten. It's a kindergarten readiness year for these 120,000 four-year-olds. It'll be at the same elementary school that they would have gone to before. It's funded through our public education system. And the way we're able to do it is because these children were going to school that year anyways, it doesn't cost us any new money. So it's a wonderful gift to be able to provide.
And is the money is it for sure that the money is going to be available for those programs, or can that suddenly change and those kids are left out in the cold without?
No, I mean it's part of our public education system, so it's, you know, assuming we get a state budget, the money will be available.
And so, you know, you can weigh in on this too, because I have mixed feelings about it. Scott has convinced me that this is a good thing, because, you know, we are finding children are struggling when they're in kindergarten now, that's more academic. And I graduated at 16, high school at 16. I was one of those kids who start, you know.
Right.
Yeah, was in school too young. But I also am worried sometimes about whether that pre-K will be too academic and not enough play. And so I really would hope that there are people involved with that who are going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, that's a very, very important point. And it's something that we're already in discussions with. If Governor Schwarzenegger does sign this bill into law, clearly we're going to need to look at making sure, and in the bill it specifically states that it needs to be developmentally and age-appropriate, but what that really means. But just talking with kindergarten teachers and, you know, kindergarten teachers around the state are very excited about this bill, in part because some of them are going to actually be able to teach in these classes, and it's going to be the way kindergarten used to be.
Right.
Which really is just the way developmentally appropriate preschool is today.
Yeah, interesting. And we'll take calls about that if you have any questions. But also just call us about your sense about preschool, what's important, how you found one. Are there ones out there that you think are quality? We'll start with our live line this morning. We have Carol joining us, one of our regular listeners, and she's from San Mateo with a five-year-old. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
So glad to hear from you this morning.
I actually have a four-year-old.
A four-year-old?
Four and a half, and he's just starting preschool. But my question is, I actually have him 3 days a week in a home daycare setting and 2 days a week in a preschool, because I wasn't able to get him into a preschool full-time. And I've heard, you know, a lot of different debate about, you know, home daycare is okay for, you know, preparing them for kindergarten, and other people say, no, he absolutely needs to be in a preschool. And so I was kind of wondering what you think about that.
It's a great question. I think parents are asking that a lot when kids are age 3 and age 4 and age 5. And I'll let my guests answer, but I just want to say very quickly, as a temperament specialist, I believe very strongly in individual differences. And my kids were in co-ops. They were in all kinds of different programs. And I think just keep in mind, you know your child best. And, you know, there are lots of good ways to raise a happy, healthy child who's learning. So, Alexina, how do you advise parents on this good question?
Well, I think it's a very important point that you make, Rona, is that every child has their individual temperament and their personality. Some children are very shy, and so they may not do well in a school setting where there's 20 children in the classroom. They might actually feel much more comfortable in a home-like environment. And So you may want to really think about a smaller environment that really has a better transition from your home environment to your childcare environment. There are family daycare providers who are licensed, who have excellent training, who can provide a quality learning environment that will even better prepare certain children for kindergarten because it really matches better with their learning style and their comfort level.
Yeah, and I went and looked at some places online where I was thinking about, oh, this might be nice for my grandson, and they were playing with hoses in the backyard and digging, and they had a farm and a garden, and you know, there are so many different ways of learning. But you mentioned license, which at least gives you some sense that there's some they've passed some safety regulations and some training. Scott, why don't you let Carol know what you think?
Sure, absolutely. I think you know the preschool that I co-own actually started in my home, and it's actually a lot of ways that different child development centers begin. And so really it is about people, program, and place. It's not necessarily whether it's in a home or in a school setting. You want to have the same, take the same view, ask the same questions that you would in either setting, because either setting can be what you want and what's best for your child or not. And
how does your, Carol, I'm curious about how your son feels about the two different places. What's that like for him personally?
He seems to like it so far. The preschool that he's in was a setting that he was in originally as a baby, and I took him out because he is kind of shy and he was having a hard time with a big group. So I took him out and put him into a home daycare for a while. And then I decided that maybe he needed to get ready to be around a big group of kids again, because in kindergarten that was the way it was going to be. So I put him back in there 2 days a week, but it, you know, half of the kids he still knows, and so the adjustment was a little bit less difficult.
And is he liking that setting?
Oh, yeah, he's loving it.
Good. And does he mind going back to his childcare setting?
No, he seems to like that too, because now he has friends in two different places.
And yeah,
the home setting is very, very loving and, you know, very nurturing.
Yeah.
And the other setting is a little bit more formal and you know, just more school-like.
Yes. See, you seem to have come up with the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, considering that, you know, you can't have him in that other place full-time. He's comfortable. He likes it. This is something you thought he needed a little extra formal care just to transition. It sounds to me like you've done a beautiful job in this. And that's the key, is to watch and see how your child does. Maybe not the first week or the second week, but over a period of time to see how your child's thriving. And Carol, you've done a great job with that. I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Toy's book. Dr. Steve Ann Auerbach is a PhD. They call her Dr. Toy. She has a great website. And this is called Smart Play, Smart Toys, How to Raise a Child with a High PQ Play Quotient. So this will be some good things for you to look at. And also a book from First Five San Mateo, Are You Ready for Kindergarten? And it has some good information on there. Carol, thanks so much.
That would be great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're talking about preschool. Salome, we have a question from you this morning. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
My input is, except we're on the 78th day for the budget, and I believe Arnold Schwarzenegger should sign a bill for the preschool, because what happens is when children are starting out at a young age, they do learn early. So that would prepare them for the future, and it also prepares them. How should I say this?
For life,
with the real school,
yeah,
like kindergarten on up to first grade, second grade.
That's
and
right.
They don't have a lot of problems with dealing with other kids' issues.
That's right.
I started my son at preschool. And he did pretty good when he went to school. He was ready. Mentally.
That's right. And especially if it's quality, especially if it's really a good place. You know, we're going to a break. Thank you so much. If you have anything else, tell our producers and we'll talk to you when we get back. Talking about preschool for everyone this morning.
Pick up up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Stroll the streets of San Rafael at the Downtown Farmers Market Festival, Thursday, September 23 from 6 to 9. For more information, call 415-492-8007. That's 415-492-8007. Join Nurse Rona and the team of Childhood Matters at the Napa River Rock and Stroll, Saturday, September 25 at 9 a.m. For more information, call 707-252-1123. That's 707-252-1123. Visit with Dra. Marisol at the Children's Art, Health, and Literacy Festival in Concord, Saturday, September 25 from 10 to 2. For more information, call 925-676-5442. That's 925-676-5442. Check out the Redwood Jubilee Festival at Big Basin Redwood State Park outside of Boulder Creek in Santa Cruz. There will be live music, children's games, and more. Saturday, September 25 from 10 to 8. For more information, call 831-338-8883. That's 831-338-8883. Bring your family to a pet parade on Broadway Avenue in San Mateo. It's free to participate on Saturday, September 25 at 9:30. For more information, call 650-342-2073. That's 650-342-2073. Join Nurse Rona and engage with over 100 San Francisco preschools and child-related services at Preschool Preview Night. Mark your calendars for Thursday, October 14 from 5:30 to 8. Call now to register at 415-359-2454. That's 415-359-2454. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Research shows children who spend time reading with their families start school better prepared. Here are some fun and helpful tips on reading aloud to children. Children begin learning the first day they are born. Read daily to children. This will help them develop communication and thinking skills. Also, ask questions relating to the story you're reading together. Children can point to colors or objects and follow along by pointing to words. And visit your local library. Involve children by letting them choose the books you read together. Make sure the books you choose increase in difficulty as children get older. Remember to make reading fun. Write your own story together or act out scenes from your favorite book and enjoy reading everywhere. Challenge children to read street signs while driving or read labels while grocery shopping. For more tips on reading aloud, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Have a man at my house, he's so big and strong.
Today we're talking with Scott Moore, Senior Policy Advisor for Preschool California, and Alexina Rojas, she's the Director of the West Contra Costa County First Five Center. We're talking about choosing quality preschool. What do you look for, and are you able to find programs that meet your needs and your child's? And Scott, are you able to afford a program, and what's happening with the budget? Let's follow up on our last caller.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, it's very difficult to afford childcare and preschool in this state, and low-income families are just not able to do it at all. You know, oftentimes this can represent well over half of a low-income family's income. So the state does have programs somewhat similar to the federal program Head Start, an early Head Start, which provides child care and development programs for children birth to five. These programs are reliant on state funding. And when there's no budget, they don't get paid. So these programs, which, you know, the funding for these programs is already inadequate, and now they haven't been paid since July 1, and, you know, anyone who has been paid since July 1, it's hard to know how you make ends meet.
It's awful. I mean, what kind of? How do you run a business that way? It's
right. Well, it's
it's unconscionable.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a huge challenge, and you know, providers go out and they do what they can in terms of getting lines of credit. You know, First Five across the state are also providing lines of credit for programs, but the reality is not every program qualifies for a line of credit. People are, you know.
That's right, and I've met many parents who can't afford a program and can't get into a program, and I'm sure that's your situation where you meet families all the time. I know
the majority of our families cannot afford anything except for subsidized child care and preschool.
And Contra Costa has really stepped up to the plate. First Five has. They have a new program. Remind me what it's called?
Preschool Makes a Difference.
Yeah, and so those are new spots, right?
They are new spots. It's provided in partnership with the Thomas J. Long Foundation, and they have opened up new slots for children who are between ages 3 to 5 who can participate. Basically, their families receive a voucher to participate in a qualified and quality child care setting, excuse me, and that could be a Head Start, it could be a state preschool, it could be a licensed family daycare provider. There are not that many slots when you think about it. I believe, like in West County, there's about 50, and then there's approximately the same in different areas of Contra Costa County. And it's basically the families have to be working, and they have a higher income than Head Start, but still are low-income families.
And again, First Five in San Francisco has a universal preschool program there, and some of the counties do. But boy, people are really scrambling and struggling to find this. So 1-877-372-KIDS, if you want to weigh in on this, talk about your experience. We have a call now from Veronita in San Jose. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. You're a preschool teacher.
Yeah, and I also was a parent of a daycare, child care center.
So what do you think about how things are going these days?
What?
With preschool, are you getting paid, first off? Are you able to earn some money being a preschool teacher?
Yes, I work with the county of Santa Clara.
Good.
I work with children, typical and atypical. Atypical children, mostly children with autism.
Uh-huh. So, good. And they have some great programs in Santa Clara County for preschool. What advice do you want to give to parents? Do you have a question, or do you want to give advice about choosing a quality preschool?
Well, I just want to talk about, because I'm on both sides of the fence, as a teacher and then as a former parent, and then also my experience, because while I was in school, I had subsidized help for daycare, which was very great.
Yes.
But one thing I would say is that, first of all, I would ask the parents to visit the center with the child and see, let the child kind of, you know, explore. The next thing, you ask parents who also have the children if you can. Now, for some people who are unsubsidized, they might not have that choice, you know, to select, but they have a list from which to select. I try to tell people, your child is the best indicator. If you have a child after 1 or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe the most, and that child still don't look like they're comfortable or they're kind of showing some sort of behavior about going, then you have to find out why. Because our children, whether they talk or not, they feel, and we're looking for a nurturing environment. Children feel nurturing. You don't have to put up a show, and you know, you go to places, so this is what we do. But look at your child. They are the best indicator. That one thing I would say. And also for parents, if you go to a place and you're not comfortable, your child will not be.
Very, very good points you're making. You know, I think Alexina would like to respond too, because she and I were having a conversation the other day about what happens when your child isn't happy.
Yes, and at the center, we really advocate for our parents to speak to the teacher, whether it's the teacher at our center, if they have any questions or concerns about their child's experience in the classes that we are offering, and then also for their children who are currently in the school system, because children are going to have teachers for the next, you know, 12, 16 years of their life, and they're not always going to have the best experience in the classroom. And so it's really important that parents do feel confident to be able to approach the teacher and let them know, you know, these are my concerns, these are my questions, and because there should be a partnership between the teacher and the parent. And when the parents feel like, I don't really have a choice as to where I can put my child. You know, I only can get into a Head Start or whatever. And there are many excellent teachers in Head Start. But the important thing is that the parent can feel comfortable talking to the teacher and making that partnership work and finding ways for their child to have a positive experience in the school.
And of course, then, if that's not working, and you can't have that good communication with the teacher and your child's not happy, that's when I often advise people, this is probably not a good fit for you. Scott, you've helped set up a preschool program. That communication is really important. But also, Veronita said, if you're not comfortable there, your child probably won't be. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, children pick up on that vibe. Even if you don't say anything or don't communicate directly to them about your feelings, but they can tell. And it's so important that the parent and the caregiver or the teacher have a good relationship, a positive relationship, because, you know, it's that trust that the child is really, that's what gives the child the self-confidence and the comfort.
Yeah. Veronita, I'm so glad you brought that up. And as a preschool teacher, it sounds like you're the kind of person who is going to make time for that parent. Is that right?
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to say, I think the gentleman and the other guests kind of touched on that. This issue of building relationship is not just with the daycare provider. The parent, too, have to be active in that.
Yes.
Because you're forming a partnership. It's not just the daycare, make me feel good, make my child. But you work with them because the child is still in that nurturing stage. They need a nurturing environment. Focus on the socialization. If you want the children to socialize and be happy, the adults too have to engage one another.
Yes.
Why, you know, sometimes volunteer, you know, can I cut some papers for you, something.
Yes.
You don't have to have money to do that. So the relationship is with both people.
You know,
they want the best for the child.
It's so important. And so on the one hand, the school needs to make it clear to the parents that they're welcome and that you care about them. And then the parents have to get off the cell phone and have to take a few minutes and breathe and have a relationship. You know, I have a book that I just happened to pull off my shelf this morning. It's called From Parents to Partners, Building a Family-Centered Early Childcare Program by Janice Kaiser. She's been on our show before. And I'm going to send this to you, Veronita, because this seems to be something important to you, and I think you'll find this really interesting, and who knows, you may even lend it to some parents. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it. We'll send you a couple of cute books for your kids in your program. It's called Numbers, and it's a fun little book for young children to have on counting. Good day to you, Veronita. Bye-bye.
Thank you and your guests as well.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
Alexina, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I have a question for Scott.
Sure.
Scott, you had mentioned that with the birth date being moved up and there's going to be a group of children who will not be able to enter kindergarten, you know, for an additional year, you had mentioned that there's going to be some transition activities for those children. I just wanted for you to share with the guests and for myself as well, what types of activities will be provided for the children? Is it kind of like a preschool setting, or is it in between kindergarten and preschool? And are the children who are getting left out because of this four-month gap, will they be guaranteed to get services?
Yes, they will. I think that's a really critical thing to communicate, which is every child that would have shown up to their elementary school for kindergarten that year will have a classroom to go to. We're calling it transition kindergarten. But when people ask, what's the difference between a high-quality transition kindergarten program and a high-quality pre-K program, I say there really isn't. It needs to be age and developmentally appropriate. Some people do look at it as something in between pre-K and kindergarten. But, you know, because kindergarten really started off as a program for children 3 years to six, and that's how preschool is too, I look at it as all one and the same. It's not about what you call it. It's about the actual program. It's about the teachers. It's about the curriculum and the environment. For those kids.
Yeah, and the key is that it's going to be available. What we're talking about is a new bill that is on the governor's desk right now, along with a whole lot of budget issues. And this is to be signed, we believe, and it will change the age that a child in California can start kindergarten. It will be they have to be five by September 1st instead of December 1st, right?
Right, that's
okay,
correct.
We got it right. Okay, well, let's take a listen to some parents now talk about preschool.
I'm at Parents Place in San Francisco, and I'm going to talk to some parents about choosing preschools. What do you think makes a quality preschool or childcare program?
I think that the teachers are the most important, followed by the community of parents.
Programs that kind of focused on solving conflicts between kids, programs that seemed creative, diversity.
A mixed age group for me is really important.
Teachers who have some early education training.
Quality teachers, caring teachers.
If kids are good problem solvers, the ABCs will come after that.
I felt like it was more important that Sam feel safe and loved. You know, we emphasize letters and numbers and colors.
Once he hits school, when he's in kindergarten, it's all about school.
I'd really like an arts program. Language is great if they have it, and music.
We really wanted to choose a co-op.
You know, I'd love to have her someplace that has kind of a play-based structure to it.
I'm realizing that beyond the philosophies, he needs a playground.
I'm actually looking more short, you know, some outside space for him.
Have you had trouble finding a preschool?
I live in a pretty easy zip code where there's a number of schools.
I went to a seminar and got this list of about 200 preschools, and it was a little hard to sift through them.
I just recently got into grad school, and it was way easier to get into graduate school than finding a preschool for my daughter. So,
what does your child like best about preschool?
You know, they have fun toys to play with, and he likes doing art projects and all that, but mostly it's just being with the other kids.
He's very, very social.
He loves interacting, and socially I think it's actually very important.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Liz Curtis.
Thanks, Liz. And, you know, actually, we have Leanne Staten on the line now from San Francisco, so I think I'll have her respond because she works with Parents Place in San Francisco, and she's going to tell us about the preschool fair. Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we had some voices of parents there from Parents Place, and I'd love you to tell people about what's going on coming up in October.
Okay, well, October 14th, we have Preschool Preview Night, and it's a chance for parents to find out about what's available in the city. We usually have about 60 preschools who come. Each one has a table. And we divide it by areas of the city so that they can really see what's in their area. And the preschool directors are usually there. Sometimes they're parents. And there's lots of brochures. It's a good first step to figure out where you want to go.
And are you finding in San Francisco, for instance, that there are enough spots for everyone who needs a spot? And are they affordable?
200 preschools in San Francisco. And people usually know about 10 or 12 that they've heard about. So it's really important to look. There's a wonderful website called SavvySource.com, which gives you a lot of information about different preschools.
So that's throughout the whole Bay Area they have preschools. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a preschool for every child. No child is going to be left in September with their little lunchbox and no place to go.
Wow. That's good to hear. And is that partly because of the first five spots also that are available?
Five spots for four-year-olds, which are free. They're not in every preschool, so you have to check and see which preschool has it. But they're in every area of the city.
And you have a word for parents in you know, very briefly about choosing the school that's right for your child.
At it. That's really important. You can't take other people's advice. And you need to think about what you need. You know, do you want two mornings a week, three mornings a week, 5 days a week? Are you working outside the home? Do you need aftercare? So really going over what you think you need and also what you can afford. And then I always tell people to start in their neighborhood, to look at places yeah. close to them and then move out from
Good.
There.
Well, thank you so much. What's the date again? October
14th.
And I'll be there too, so I'll
okay,
see you
great.
Then, Leanne. Okay. And we'll be right back talking to people about preschool, so don't go away.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Explore the Tech Museum in San Jose. A new interactive exhibit about Silicon Valley opens mid-September. For more information on this and many more exhibits, visit thetech.org. That's TECH.ORG.
Register now for the Napa River Rockin' Stroll 6K Family Fun Run on Saturday, September 25. Meet Nurse Rona and help prevent child abuse in our community. After the run, enjoy live music, food, and fun for the whole family in downtown Napa. That's the Napa River Rockin' Stroll, Saturday, September 25 to benefit Cope Family Center. Scholarships for families with children 0 to 5 are available thanks to the generosity of First 5 Napa County. For more info, call 707-252-1123 or visit Napa River Rockin' Stroll.
Join the Contra Costa Child Care Council for hands-on fun, pint-sized entertainment, and free kids' books at the Coco Kids Children's Art Health and Literacy Festival, Saturday, September 25th, 10 to 2. Enjoy a puppet show, song and dance, and story time. Come dressed for play. There will be finger painting, sponge and car painting, bookmaking, kids' obstacle courses, and a dance-off that's sure to get the wiggles out. Plus, the fun is free. Go to CocoKids.org.
Developmental delays affect 1 in 6 children. Although every child develops at a different rate and in different ways, parents and caregivers who spot special needs symptoms in their children can follow these tips when seeking assistance. Get help early. If you think there may be a problem, even if you're not sure, seek help. Visit a doctor or healthcare professional for more resources available to you and your child. Express your concerns clearly by giving concrete information to your doctor about your child's development. If your doctor decides not to do a screening, ask why. Your child's healthy development is important to you. If the screening shows risk of a developmental delay, follow-up is crucial. Ask your doctor about next steps and further assessments for your child. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Visit the Exploratorium in San Francisco. Feel for secrets in the Tactile Dome or explore the Geometry Playground. For more information on these and many more exhibits, visit exploratorium.edu. That's exploratorium.edu.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking about preschool. We'd love to hear from you. 1-877-372-KIDS. We're talking with Scott Moore, Senior Policy Advisor for Preschool California, and Alexina Rojas. She's the Director of the West County First 5 Center. I also want to announce the launch of a new podcast that I've done with Dr. Christine Carter from UC Berkeley. It's called Happiness Matters. We often hear parents say, I just want my children to be happy. But they will admit it's confusing to figure figure out how to accomplish happiness on a daily basis. So go to childhoodmatters.org to learn how to sign up for our weekly 10-minute podcast. And let us know what questions you have about happiness, both yours and your child's. And a good place to ask questions also is Facebook. So find us on Facebook. You know, Scott, we were talking about Leanne talking about San Francisco having a spot for every child. What's unique about San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco is very unique in that it has a universal preschool program. It's the only city or county in the state to have that, and it doesn't have that many kids. It's also it's a reality of San Francisco that many, many other cities and counties in the state envy, because the reality is that we have hundreds of thousands of families on waiting lists who are eligible for state-subsidized preschool and childcare, but who are not able to receive it because there's just not enough.
That's right. And actually, San Francisco struggles with parents leaving because often they can't afford housing.
Right.
And, you know, there's all this money, budget, these issues that are very deep in that relate to childcare. It's a complex subject. I also think that it's important, Alexina, to talk about that waiting list a little bit more. Tell us about that.
In each county, there is a centralized eligibility list. And basically, families can either sign up through the internet or they can call one of their local resource, child care resource and referral agencies and fill out the application. It prioritizes families by income, by kind of current family status, if you're referred by CPS or if you're homeless, extremely low income. Those are families that do get priority first. However, for instance, we were talking about preschool makes a difference in Contra Costa, and they actually pull from kind of like the middle part of the waiting list. So there are agencies that will pull from different parts of the waiting list. So we encourage all families to sign up for the CEL, the centralized eligibility list, and in Contra Costa, it's called the child care eligibility list, because you never know. You just might get that one slot.
So if people are listening from other counties, they could go to their local resource and referral agency. And you were saying like Bananas for C's, right? Each county has an agency that can help with this.
Yes. And also provide more information about finding quality child care, providing referrals to private family child care centers. They have so much information.
Boy, I lived in Africa for a few years, and I tried starting my own little child care setting because I didn't like the Belgian school that my son needed to go to if he was going to have a child care setting. Mm-hmm. Boy, was it hard. I was exhausted. And I just keep thinking about it. I just want to say kudos to all the child care providers out there, because it's such hard work. And I think on the one hand, we have to acknowledge and recognize how hard these people work, and they don't get paid so well in our culture. And on the other hand, we have to realize what parents want is safety and security. Scott, what are parents looking for when they come to come to programs? What do they really want?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, safety is key, and then their child being happy. But, you know, a child being happy is a child who's engaged, a child who's learning. I mean, children have a natural curiosity. So how a caregiver or a teacher supports that and facilitates that learning and that exploration, I mean, they are little scientists, is key to their happiness. So it's all wrapped up. But ultimately, of course, you want to leave your child in a place where you know that they're going to be safe.
Exactly.
Healthy and happy.
Yeah, and Alexina, you also are such an advocate for looking at the cultural competency.
Yes.
Maybe we can talk about that for a minute.
Well, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the partnership and the communication between the parent and the caregiver. And there has to be that flow of information back and forth. The caregiver has to be open to learning about the child and what their lifestyle is before they enter the doors of the child care setting. And the parent has to be able to, you know, give a little bit as well. You know, so there has to be a negotiation. And there's so many things that are cultural. And just family culture, diapering, discipline, communication, playing.
Nap time,
exactly. Interdependence versus dependence. There's some families who, in first grade, the mom is still coming to the cafeteria and feeding her child. So there just has to be the communication. And both parts have to feel at the end of the day, okay, I can make this child the best child that he or she can be.
Yes.
And have great communication with the parents.
And I think the whole piece about discipline is really important, and we can talk on another show because we're almost out of time, is really going and observing and watching how our children talk to, how are they treated, is this respectful, exactly. Is there a lot of problem solving going on, rather than, oh, come on, sit down, you're bad, or any of that, because, you know, teachers do get frustrated, but we want people trained so they really know how to talk to kids in a respectful way. Scott, a final word from you in terms of, you know, Preschool California is really working hard to try and provide quality preschool for everyone. Do you want to just give a pitch here for Preschool California?
Well, sure. You can learn a lot about what we do if you go to our website, which is preschoolcalifornia.org. And then I would also encourage people to please call their local state legislator and encourage them to get a budget signed, because if we can do something for our caregivers and our teachers right now, is to make sure that they don't lose their job and that they get paid.
It's, you know, and I think about other countries where it's not such a big issue that all children have quality preschool.
Right.
I mean, we really are behind in this. And to me, it means that we're behind in so many ways, because we know early intervention, early starts will change things down the line. Our kids won't fail in fifth grade if they get this quality preschool education. So let's wake up and really do the right thing here. And the website again?
PreschoolCalifornia.org.
Thank you so much, Scott Moore. A final word, Alexina?
Yes, I just wanted to say that parents, again, you are your child's first teacher, and there's so much that you can do in your daily routines with your child to prepare them for preschool or for kindergarten. Excuse me. And just take the time, in terms of transitioning your child from the home to preschool, visit the preschool, find out what routines are already happening, and start introducing those in your life, in your child's life, before entering preschool, so that it's this much smoother transition.
So reading, singing, playing, talking, doing all kinds of interactive things with kids.
Yes, allowing the child to explore, asking them questions, you know, having them really give of themselves.
Alexina Rojas, thank you so much for the programs that you do in West County, and Preschool Makes a Difference. Now, I'd like people to keep listening, because we have a community report, and we're going to be talking, listening to David Alexander, Dr. David Alexander from Lucile Packard Foundation for Children's Health. So thank you for listening to us this morning.
I'm Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. 10 to 15% of California's children have a special health care need, conditions ranging from asthma to leukemia. I spoke with pediatrician Dr. David Alexander, president of the Lucile Packard Foundation for Children's Health, in a series about special needs.
If you're a child with a special health care need in California and you come to an acute care children's hospital for an episode of care, you're going to get wonderful care. The challenge is that when these children leave the acute health care setting, the system doesn't serve them particularly well. And the depressing news is that if you look at the country as a whole, these children are not served particularly well by the healthcare delivery system. And if you look at California in particular, California does worse than the rest of the country on a lot of the measures that we look at to judge quality of care. So, for example, is it easy for you to get the healthcare you need when you need it? Do you have adequate insurance? Those are the sorts of measures where the entire country as a whole doesn't do particularly well, and California in particular does worse. And one of the other challenges for this population is that because healthcare is improving, we are saving more children, and frequently the children who we are saving become children who live a long time with their special healthcare needs. When I trained as a pediatrician, it was very unusual for a baby who weighed less than 3 pounds to live to go home from the neonatal intensive care unit. These kids are going home relatively routinely today, and the system does not have the additional resources that it needs to care for this ever-growing population of kids who we fortunately can continue to do more for.
That was Dr. David Alexander of the Lucile Packard Foundation for Children's Health. If you would like more information about special needs, call Family Voices of California at 415-282-7494 or visit our website, childhoodmatters.org, brought to you by the Foundation and kidsdata.org, your source for information about children's health in California. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Rona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids, and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.